men participating in our worship services, and makes us very proud. We appreciate that. Well, good morning to all of you. So good to see you. And sorry I interrupted you. Good morning. There we go. Very good. So glad to see you, and glad that you're here today, and that we are worshiping our God, and that if you're visiting with us, we want you to stay for a few moments and let us get to know you better, and we invite you to come back anytime you can. I want to talk to you this morning about some lessons from the life of Hezekiah. As I was studying this lesson for the last couple of weeks, really, it's a lot of detail here in the life of Hezekiah, and we won't go into all of that, but I was just amazed at the life of Hezekiah. And one of the amazing things about Hezekiah is that he is recorded so many times in our Bibles. We're going to look in several of those passages this morning, but he's in 2 Kings, he's in 2 Chronicles, he's in the book of Isaiah. He's also mentioned in the book of Proverbs and Jeremiah, Hosea, and Micah. I believe there's a reason why Hezekiah is mentioned so much, because he's just a very unique character and a lot of great lessons that we can learn from that. And King Hezekiah reigned over Judah from about 715 to 687 B.C., beginning at the age of 25, and he reigned for about 29 years. And while he was not perfect, there are some wonderful things said about Hezekiah. And we're going to look at some of those things here this morning. So I want to just talk to you about four things this morning, and then the rest of the day will be yours until we assemble again this evening at 5 o'clock. But I want you to think with me about the life of Hezekiah. And okay, we can make that work. Greg, it's not cooperating again, but it looked like it was. All right, first of all, I want you to think about the fact that Hezekiah honored God. Hezekiah, if you'll be turning with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, we'll begin there in verse 20, or chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And notice, first of all, with me at verse 3, and then we'll come to verses 29 through 31. It says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired it. And there are lots of other details that are given about what Hezekiah did in order to honor God, because, as we'll talk about later, he follows on the heels of a very wicked king who was his father Ahaz, who had basically shut down the temple and its worship. And the Jews were not worshiping God as they should. But we drop down then to verse 29 of 2 Chronicles 29. And look there, or excuse me, in the 29th verse here, it says, when they had finished offering the king and all who were present with him, he bowed and worshiped. This gives us a conclusion here of what Hezekiah does as he restores the worship of God. In fact, chapters 29 through 31 contain the story of this. But Hezekiah is the king that, in the history of Judah, is one of them that restored the temple and its worship. And so he realized the importance of worshiping God and honoring God as he ought to. And through repairing the temple and honoring God in this way, He has opened up what had been closed by his wicked father Ahaz. And then he also, in here, it talks about what he did with the priest and how he enabled them to begin to make the sacrifices and celebrate the Passover once again, which had been suspended during the reign of his wicked father Ahaz. And so by restoring the ability of the people to worship, Ahaz is doing something to honor God. Now, if you look further with me, we're going to go back to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 18. And this is another one of the places where the life of Hezekiah is recorded. In 2 Kings, chapter 18, and verse 3, we learn that Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. It says, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. Now, if you remember your history, and I've already given you the clue, Ahaz is his father, but he is a descendant of David. You see, the inspired writer couldn't say that he did all that his father Ahaz did, because Ahaz was a wicked king. And his father David, of whose lineage he is, is what Hezekiah modeled himself after. He honored God by all the things that he did. He did all that was right in the sight of the Lord. There's a great lesson for us in this, that we can do what is right in the sight of the Lord, and we can give honor to him. We also look a little bit further here in this chapter at verses 5 and 6. It says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. You see, this further explains to us about Hezekiah's desire to do what was right. It says he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. I know a lot of people throw about that term about trusting in the Lord or trusting in Jesus, and they have a totally different concept about what that means, to trust God or to trust Jesus. To trust God means that we're going to do like we see Hezekiah doing here in the way he honors God, and that is he obeys the commandments of God. In this case, it's the law of Moses that he's obeying. He is doing what God said in order to be pleasing to him. That's how he honors God. Those of you who are parents, think about when your child behaves in a not-so-good way. And you sort of do this, don't you? You're disappointed in them. But then when they do something without you having to tell them, when they do what is right without you having to tell them, then your chest swells with pride and you're so proud of them. They've honored you in your name. And that's exactly what Hezekiah is doing to his heavenly Father. He is honoring the name of God, and he is doing what the Lord wants because he trusts in the Lord. He is obeying him. That's the essence of what it means to trust the Lord. Yes, I trust him because he is trustworthy, but I'm doing this because I understand that this is the right thing to do to honor God. Another thing that we find here is here in 2 Kings chapter 18 as well, but verse 4, it says, he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images and broken pieces, the bronze serpents that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. Hezekiah sought to remove the false gods. He destroyed them, the high places of the pagan worship that was going on in Judah because of his father. And he removed those high places and broke down the pillars and cut down the Asherah poles and even the bronze serpent that Moses had made, which was for the salvation of the people. Hezekiah sought to honor God by obeying his commandments, not having any false gods, any idols in his life. Again, there's a great lesson for us in that sometimes we place things as an idol before our service to God. Whether it be work or recreation or other activities, whatever comes between us and our service to God is nothing more than an idol. You see, Israel participated in idolatry in the form of carved images and poles and these kinds of things. And while we don't necessarily do that today, we can take our favorite thing to do, our occupation, our recreation, whatever it may be, and we can erect an altar to it and say, this is more important than God. And that does not honor God. In fact, it just takes God off of the first place and it makes him second place or third place or probably way more down the list than that. The other thing we find here about Hezekiah honoring God is that because of his godly lifestyle, God prospered him. Now, this is not teaching us the health and wealth gospel as a lot of people are preaching today. But notice in verse 7 of 2 Kings 18, it says, the Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. But see, that follows right on the heels of verse 6 that we read that says he held fast to the Lord. He trusted God, and God prospered him. God is going to prosper us for our service to him, not necessarily in material goods, but certainly in a heavenly reward. And our life is going to be enriched because we are doing what the Lord has asked us to do. And what sort of ties all of this together for me in this point is what we read that the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. He says, "You were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You see, Paul tells us something that Hezekiah knew, and that is that he belonged to God. That's why Hezekiah sought to honor God in all that he did, because God owned him. It's God who prospered him. It's God who helped him to do the things that were right, because Hezekiah had a heart that says, "I will do what God says. I will do what the law says." That's how we honor God, is by doing what God has commanded us to do. The second thing that I think we can learn from Hezekiah is, don't show the enemy your hand. That's obviously a reference to card games, and in particular games of chance. I don't know anything about those. I've never played other than just some fun little recreational stuff. Never bet large sums of money. Never bet at all, actually. But you know, card players, they have some rules, like you keep your hand close to your chest so nobody can see it. You know, you sit around the family table and you play good games that involve cards, and sometimes you catch somebody trying to peek around and see what's in your hand. Why? Because that makes you vulnerable. It gives them an opportunity to beat you at the game. And so they're cheating at the game. Well, when it comes to Satan, we understand that Satan already knows what is our weak point. That's why he's so powerful. He's not all-knowing like God, but he knows what is the trigger that will cause us to sin. And what I mean here is that not that we try to hide that from Satan. He knows what our weakness is. But that we don't even give him the opportunity. That we live a life that is such that Satan will have no opportunity to try to cause us to fail. So I want you to think with me about the devil being our enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter tells us that he's our adversary. He walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's us. And if we're going to defeat our adversary and not let him get the best of us, we're going to have to not reveal our hand to him by not having anything for him to work with, by being the kind of person that we ought to be. Now, as we think about Hezekiah, on the negative side of Hezekiah, one of the things we have to acknowledge here, and this is in 2 Kings chapter 20, is that Hezekiah did just that. When confronted with the enemy, he showed his hand. He showed where he was vulnerable, where he was the weakest. So in 2 Kings chapter 20, we read beginning in verse 16 that Isaiah prophesied that because of what Hezekiah had done, he opened up the storehouse, he showed Babylon all of the wealth, he showed where they were vulnerable. And of course, it was God's plan for the Babylonians to come and take away captive the southern kingdom of Israel. But I want you to notice what we read here that Isaiah prophesies about in 2 Kings chapter 20 and beginning in verse 16. Just got to make sure I'm in the right place here on the slides. Okay, beginning in verse 16, it says, "Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, 'Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers had accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon.' Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good.' For he said, 'Will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days?'" Isaiah prophesied that Babylon was coming. And Hezekiah just showed him his hand. He showed him where he was weak, where the country of Judah was weak. What if we do that to Satan? What if we just throw open our life to Satan and expose ourselves and our vulnerabilities? Well, we do that by having those vulnerabilities, by having those weaknesses. We've got to work hard so that we don't have those weaknesses for Satan to exploit and to use against us. And what we need to do is not give the devil a foothold. The saying is, pride goes before the fall. Hezekiah was proud. Let's look in I can't see where I'm at here. Second Chronicles. Well, that's the wrong side to look on. Second Chronicles chapter 32. Maybe I should just forget this and just preach. Huh? It's a little bit confusing here. Second Chronicles chapter 32. Beginning in verse 25. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore, wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon him in the days of Hezekiah. Now, you remember that because of the goodness of Hezekiah, God prolonged what was going to happen to Judah. But notice that it says that Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. One of the greatest weapons that Satan has to use against us is our pride. When we start to say, I can get away with this sin, what we've done is we've taken our cards and we've shown them to Satan. We've revealed our hand to him. Hezekiah humbled himself because he realized that he was prideful and he had thrown open the storehouses of Judah and he'd showed everything. But because of his repentance, he was able to forestall until a later time what was going to happen to Judah. Hezekiah learned a lesson here. Don't reveal your weaknesses. Don't reveal what it is that is going to be so tempting to the adversary, our enemy, the devil. And then we don't need to give the devil a chance to do anything. Don't give him anything to work with. Don't let him see what you have to give up. Don't let him see your weaknesses. Don't have any weaknesses at all. And we need to heed the words of James chapter 4 and verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, that's how we do it. We don't have anything to be weak about that Satan can exploit. We need to work on those things, but we need to resist him. Tell him, no. Tell him, get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to let you do this to me. I'm not going to let you cost me my eternal soul. And we certainly should not give the devil a foothold in our life. I've never been much of a rock climber or mountain climber. I like nice casual walks through the mountains when I go. But I understand that having a foothold to gain access to the higher summit is something that's very important. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 4. But you think about if you're climbing, you got to have a foothold to get to the top. We had a family member years ago. He would talk about driving on the ice up there in Ohio, and he said the tires can't get any purchase. And for the longest time, I didn't understand what he meant. He just meant they couldn't get a grip. Your tires would spin on the ice. They couldn't get any purchase, any grip, any foothold. Well, if we make it that way for Satan, don't give him a place to get a foothold in our life, then we'll be able to resist him and not show him our hand. So notice what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. The footnote says, don't give him the opportunity. Don't show him your hand. That's how we resist him. That's how we serve God. The third thing that we need to understand is that you can be good, we can be good, despite our background. Let's go back to 2 Kings, the 18th chapter again. 2 Kings chapter 18. And let's begin at verse 1 this time. It says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the son of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done. He removed the high places, broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden images, broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him, none was like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any who were before him." Now that summarizes, this is one of the places where it summarizes the life of Hezekiah and how good he was. But Hezekiah was the son of wicked King Ahaz. And as we said, he began reigning at the age of 25, really pretty young for that kind of responsibility. And you know, if what happened to Ahaz is an example for us, we need to learn that despite his background, he turned out good. Or for Hezekiah, rather. Despite his background with his father Ahaz, he turned out good. And we would think, well, if his father is wicked, he's going to follow in his father's footsteps. But remember, it says he followed in the footsteps of his father David, not Ahaz. And, you know, it just seems that sometimes people just follow what their family has always done. If your parents were wicked, you're likely to turn out wicked as well. So I want you to look at three examples here under this point about this. First of all, we think about evil following evil. In 2 Kings chapter 24, and beginning in verse 8, Jehoiakim was 18 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 3 months. His mother's name was Nehushta, the daughter of Elnathan of Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father had done. You see, there's exactly what we would expect, that a person with an evil background is going to do evil. Just sort of human nature to do what your parents and what your family has done. So sometimes evil does follow evil. And of course, we know that's not the case with Hezekiah. But sometimes, as in the case of Hezekiah, good follows evil. Notice with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. 2 Chronicles chapter 28. And we're going to begin reading here in verse 24. And we'll continue on through into the early part of the next chapter. It says, "So Ahaz gathered the articles of the house of God, cut in pieces the articles of the house of God, shut the doors of the house of the Lord, and made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every single city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoke the anger of the Lord God of his fathers. Now the rest of his acts and all his ways from the first to the last, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Ahaz rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city in Jerusalem. But they did not bring him into the tomb of, into the tombs of the kings of Israel. Then Hezekiah, his son, reigned in his place." Chapter 29, verse 1 says, "Hezekiah became king when he was 25. He reigned 29 years. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done." You see, this that we're studying this morning is an example of good following evil. Hezekiah was good. Ahaz was evil. And then let's look at a New Testament example, and that is good follows good. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul talking about Timothy, he says, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Timothy was good like his forebears had been, his mother and grandmother. But you know, the other possibility is that evil follows good. You could have good parents and you still turn out bad. But see, that's a choice that you make. But don't be resigned to the fact that because my family was bad, I have to be bad. It turns out that way far too often, but it doesn't have to be so. So after his father's wicked reign, there was much work to do for Hezekiah. And he boldly cleaned house. He took down the pagan altars and the idols, and temples were destroyed. Even that bronze serpent that Moses had built that became an idol to the people. The temple in Jerusalem, whose doors had been nailed shut by his own father, were cleaned out and reopened. Levitical priesthood was reinstated, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in everything that he did. Now, what's the lesson for us about this? That is, seek God no matter what. No matter what your background, no matter what you've done in your past, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So it doesn't matter where you came from. What matters is where you're going. You see, where you came from is the past. It's over. You can't change that. You need to repent of sin, but you need to look at where you're going. You can be good no matter where you came from. So, we've got to put God first. Let's go again to 2 Kings chapter 18. Beginning in verse 6, for he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. Notice, he held fast to the Lord. He put God first. He did what was right in the sight of God. And let me leave you with this. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works or your plans, your works, your thoughts, everything to the Lord. Even though Hezekiah had a stumble, he exposed himself to the enemy, he made a good recovery. And again, he held fast to the Lord. And the Lord will bless us if we hold fast to Him and commit our works to Him, make our plans for Him, do our deeds for Him. Lots of great lessons from Hezekiah. These are just a few that we can learn. There's so many great things about Hezekiah that we could talk about, but time won't permit. But the most important thing for us to learn is that Hezekiah did what was right. Hezekiah was a good king. He was a good and faithful servant to his God. So if you want to honor God, then you need to be obedient to God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you want to protect yourself from the enemy, then get rid of all that stuff that he might use against you. Don't reveal to him your weaknesses. And no matter where you came from, you can go to heaven. Through obedience to God's Son, being baptized for the remission of your sins, you can send a message to the devil that says, I'm not going your way. I'm going to go to heaven. Put God first. Everything that you do in this life must be to the glory of God. And if you're not doing those things, my friend, because you've never become a Christian, or maybe because as a Christian you have lowered God to another place in your life, then look to Hezekiah and his example. Even when he stumbled, he still continued to do what was right. God blessed him, gave him a long life, and he's one of the good kings of Judah. Would you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you followed the example of a man like Hezekiah? If you would, then why don't you respond this morning to the gospel invitation? Come to the front while we stand and sing and confess your faith in Jesus. Or if you need us to pray with you because you've neglected your service, we'll do that as well. We just ask you to please come now while we stand together and while we sing.